Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. We are so glad that you joined us today. However you're listening, we are here for you and taking your calls. We are on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and taking calls from 1 to 3 Eastern time. And I know a lot of people are listening on every podcast.
Day. We're on every day. We just take calls. Right. Sorry.
Right. Thank you. That was Dr. Jill Hubbard helping me out.
Tune in Thursdays and Fridays because sometimes we're on. Keeping you honest.
And Dr. Alice Benton also. We are grateful for all the help that I get. It's really great. Matter of fact, you know, we're talking about one of the things we're going to talk about is boundaries.
And,
it's all good. The funny thing about boundaries is we talk about them a lot. We tell people to have boundaries all the time. But sometimes we don't even recognize when we need them. And so, you know, just a little quick, you know, tutorial is if you're feeling overwhelmed or you feel resentful towards people when they want to ask for your help. Or if you avoid interactions with people, whether it's a call, you know, you get a ton of voicemails, you know, because you just can't say no. You feel burned out. You may have no time for yourself, that you feel like if I say no, I'm going to disappoint somebody. Or it could be the other type of situation where you feel like the other is more powerful than you, and your no will cause a bunch of repercussions that you're not ready to handle. And I think, in any of those cases, boundaries are an easy word to say, and sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to put into place. Mm-hmm. Alice and Jill, what, you know, when you think about putting in boundaries, you know, what have you learned that has mm-hmm. been so helpful in your own life?
I've got a hot off the press example because one of my children, who shall remain nameless, is a finagler with a strong personality, and I'm a people pleaser. And I've learned that boundaries can mean expressing a need I have. I need you not to finagle when I set the line or I say what we're going to do. You can respectfully disagree, but finagling does not work for me. So it's expressing my need and making a gentle request of the person in my life. And if they follow through, lovely, boundaries worked. If they won't do what I'm asking and their behavior continues to have a negative impact on me, then boundaries means I figure out how much space I need or what kind of discipline as a parent I need to enact to help teach my child how to rein in this behavior of theirs, have the internal boundaries
that's good.
A child doesn't have yet.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think it's important to remember that boundaries are not about doing something to another person, right? They are about taking care of ourselves and looking at what works for us, what doesn't work for us, what we can tolerate, what we can't tolerate, right? And so boundaries are helpful in not giving ourselves away. Right?
Yes.
And so then we experience those things that Becky described, the overwhelm, right? When we give too much of ourselves away, we don't have enough left over. And so we're giving from a place of emptiness instead of fullness.
And that's the key, is to know ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Is one of the things that John Townsend and Henry Cloud talk about in their classic book, Boundaries, is, you know, your boundaries of time, talent, gifts. You know, what makes you you? Because when you can know where you begin and end and another person begins and ends, you can get real clear about what doesn't work for you and then begin the work on how to shut that door, how to say no, how to and be okay with the feelings that are going to come from that other person. Because you know,
it's going to
require, you know, some strength and some, you know, resilience that comes with feeling like you disappointed somebody. But knowing that you didn't hurt them, this isn't, you know, that might hurt their feelings, but that doesn't mean that there's something that you did wrong. If you need help with boundaries, you know, we are here for you. You can get a copy of John and Henry's book from us at newlife.com, or you can call us. We're going to take calls right after this break, and that is a boundary.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Lose It for Life is online next Saturday, and Alina Alzeru, who's one of our network counselors as well as an expert in physical fitness, will be joining Steve. And if you've attended before, maybe you want to do it again, because online it's easy and it's good to have a refresher. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll give you all the details, or you can go to newlife.com for that information. We're going to talk with Jeremy, who is calling us from Dallas and listens on KWRD. Hello, Jeremy. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Hey, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I was calling because I was listening in about you guys talking briefly, on you guys talking about porn, and kind of it dawned on me that I'm dealing with something in my relationship with my fiance, who's a faith-based woman, and she's beautiful. I'm a tattoo artist, and basically what I'm having a hard time with is, kind of where to draw the line as far as, like, what's okay and what's not okay with using, like, sexuality or enticing photos or things like that, that are helping us or that could benefit us, her being a model and me being a tattoo artist. And I work at a faith-based tattoo shop here in Weatherford in Texas. Hmm. And, yeah, and it's really hard for me sometimes because I have, beautiful women and beautiful people all around me. And I think mm-hmm. that it gets lost sometimes in the translation or sometimes with the intention, which I know mine are pure. I don't look at porn. And so your guys' show kind of made me kind of ponder a few things and actually really want to reach out and, like, be humbled about it and know, like, that it's not just me and my ways, because I've been doing this craft for about 18 years. And so I feel like I have a little bit of a set in stone way of thinking. And I understand that, sometimes I just need to let those walls down, or I need to be open-hearted. And I want her to feel beautiful, and I want her to feel supported, And I think it's very important that she has my support, because these were things she had in her life before I was there. And, I kind of always tell her, it wasn't, those photos that drew me to you as much as the godly posts or as much as the godly things and the spiritual things that the journey that you're on. Of course, that's an amazing bonus, but, I just was curious as to, like, where should I kind of let that compass, navigate me? Because I feel like sometimes when I let it be my way, she starts to feel like she's not important or that she's, on the underhand of things. And I don't want her to feel like that. I want this to work equally and successfully.
Jeremy, would you share with us, what's one of the more extreme examples of how she uses her sexuality to entice?
Well, so she's had some body modification, as I like to call it, some implants and some work and some Botox. And so she also works for a couple of, like, major companies where she does modeling, and, it's sexually enticing, meaning, there's lingerie, there's obviously a sexual taste about the photography mm-hmm. that's happening. There's been a couple of times where I was uncomfortable about some of the video shoots or the photo shoots, or I wasn't even aware per se. And, I don't think she's being mischievous. I just think that she is like me. She's afraid of hurting me. And, these are things that her and I both had, in place before we got as serious and as devoted to each other as we are. So, again, there's nothing that's come out of the blue. It's just, again, I'm having a hard time dealing with it because in a volatile situation where we're expressing our feelings, and then it becomes a little bit of, like, jealousy or a misunderstanding, as I would call it. It just is, like, these are things that are so deeply rooted in how we put, food on the table.
Right. Excuse me. So I have a question. Are you more concerned about the impact, like you mentioned, the jealousy on each other uh-huh. and how you feel uh-huh. in each other being kind of exposed out there to other people, or as you're, you know,
okay,
but also coming from a place of a more of a Christian worldview, what you're putting out there as a Christian that might be a stumbling block to others, because those are,
exactly.
are a little bit different.
Exactly. Well, it's a combination, and also we both have kids from previous relationships that are looking up to all of our actions. You know,
so absolutely.
I'm a transplant from California, right? And I came to Texas for a better, more godly life. And ironically or not, because I don't really believe in ironic or, you know, those kind of luck or things, we met back in California about 20 years ago. So we've gone through so many different life things on our own. And again, I think that's what makes us who we are, and I'm proud of that. And I want our kids to be proud of that and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. if that can merge together properly, I think that that's amazing.
And the challenge.
One of those, like, power couple things or something.
Well,
I want it to be, like you said, I know that my heart is with God, and I know that I want to know that the imagery that I'm tattooing, no matter where on the body it might be or who it's on, and I want to know that the intention is kind of like met at that same level. And I think I get confused. You know,
right.
I place the blame.
Yeah.
Yeah. The challenge, you this know. Comes back to what we opened the show with, though, Jeremy, mm-hmm. about the boundaries. Uh-huh. You're
exactly.
on a journey of discovering who yeah. you are, using your gifts and talents for
and
good.
I well and, know. That resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the, yeah. The journey that you're on also, Jeremy, and now that you have a woman in your life that you want to share life with, how do we uh-huh. have these honest conversations about what our future together looks like in a safe way that doesn't trigger each other? And, you know, it's such a... It's one little conversation at a time. But what happens so many times yeah. in couples is we have internal conversations in our heads, in our spirits, and then when uh-huh. something triggers that uh-huh. internal conversation, yeah. it comes out full force. And the other person
yes, exactly.
wasn't expecting.
Right.
Yeah, they weren't thinking, oh, hey, you've had a couple yeah. of thoughts about this. Where did that come from?
Uh-huh.
And, you
right.
know, it is a journey of having those conversations. Alice, what would you add to that?
Uh-huh. Well, I would say, Jeremy, that you have a strong faith-based reason for entering into tough conversations about this, but you're doing it in a world and a culture that says you have no right
yes.
to dictate what she is doing with her body. So you're up against
exactly.
a lot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Uh-huh. But your stance, I believe, is protective of her and of your marriage. Uh-huh. What you got to be cautious about is it also controlling? Do you have other controlling aspects uh-huh. to your personality, or have you tried to control her in an unholy way
Shit.
Historically? So be uh-huh. aware of that potential vulnerability. But I'm with okay. you that there's biblical reasons to reconsider the extent of both of your careers, because it could put your marriage at risk, and it could put your parenting
yeah.
at a hypocritical risk of, mm-hmm. ooh, kids yeah. are going to point to what we do
yeah.
and not
I'm
do
here.
What we say. Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes, ma'am.
My suggestion would be that you enter this conversation with a whole lot of humility and with mm-hmm. a lot more questions than answers, meaning
okay.
Can we talk about how our what limits we might need as we move towards marriage? To protect ourselves, our marriage, our parenting. And this is probably unfair for me to even bring up, but I realize that in my career, there are a lot of temptations as a tattoo artist.
Yes.
And I wonder how that affects you,
yes.
if you're ever worried about the beautiful women whose uh-huh. bodies I'm tattooing on and how that affects me.
Mm-hmm.
And can we both mm-hmm. question how well are we living out our beliefs in our careers? And I would try to mm-hmm. see what she would come to just with those inviting questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's not up for it, or she doesn't go in the direction you're hoping, then I would say eventually, cautiously and gently, to bring up things like the lingerie photo shoots. I'm realizing as we're moving to marriage, those don't work so well for me. Can we talk about mm-hmm. that and what we might do if we can reconsider some of that? But
right.
do it with questions so
yeah,
that it's a
together.
Discussion, not a lecture.
Sure.
Right. Absolutely.
Exactly. And
go ahead.
I think I agree with you. Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and absolutely. And as you, Jeremy, are being more reflective of your own professionalism, right? Having professional boundaries.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of things that can, you know, like I think of actors on the screen, right? Doing a love scene or something like that, right? But the professionalism is that they protect those actors, right? And they have people in there, intimacy coaches and things like that, that add a level of professionalism. So how are you each approaching your careers in a professional way? And then, as Alice was saying, what are the limits to that? Where, no, this is really crossing the line for me personally. And that's a journey you each are on, right? So you want to hear her line of thinking, not tell her how to think.
And, you know, Jeremy, along the line of what Jill just said, I actually read a story about an actor whose name I cannot remember, who he made a decision years ago in acting that he would never kiss a woman who wasn't his wife. And he was shut out from a lot of acting jobs. But now he, if I could think of his name, he's a well-known bad guy. He doesn't ever have to kiss another woman.
Nobody wants to kiss him, right?
But everybody knows him for his incredible acting skills. And so when we talk about these things in our relationships, you decide what you will and what you won't do as part of your relationship. And if you guys haven't had time with a counselor just to kind of, you know, it's not even just about these big things. It's literally, how are we going to do our life together? You know, you're not married yet. So, you know, premarital counseling is very normal. It's very, you know, we love to have people do that. And so maybe that's a next step for you guys so that you can have some conversations like this. Also, to go along with all of this, you know, one of the things that we talk about at our Intimacy and Marriage is understanding our histories collide when we come into relationship. And so I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love. Oh, and by the way, I just got word that the actor is Neil McDonough. So if you guys haven't seen any of his work, but that story just came out that, you know, I just don't kiss another woman. That's my wife. That my wife's lips are the only ones that I kiss. So I thought that's pretty astounding in the world of acting. But Jeremy, I hope that something that we've said has encouraged you today. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love. But I also want to encourage you and any other men that are listening with, you know, when we talked about our Every Man's Battle podcast, it's free. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. And these conversations are, you know, very important in today's culture where literally, like you said, Alice, you don't really have the right to say no to somebody else's choices. But in relationship, it makes a big impact on your ability to be honest and truthful for, you know, your future together. You're thinking about these kids and what their choices are going to be, and it's going to impact every one of you. Jill?
If we're in the sanctification process, if we're allowing God to keep growing our character, then throughout our lives, he will be asking us, will you let go of this? Will you let go of that? And sometimes it's old sinful behavior that maybe we didn't even know it was a sin when we got into it. But as a Christian, that doesn't fit in God's way anymore. And then he keeps going and just taking away unhealthy things or burdens or even good things that are not the best for us at the time. So we hope that we pick a spouse who's willing to allow that sanctification process to be part of marriage, part of relationship.
Right. So seeking the Lord at every step of the way, right? And asking him to change your heart where it needs to be changed.
And to pay attention to those feelings that you're having, Jeremy. You've got great insight. You don't want to let go of that, and you want to nurture that. It reminds me, Alice, of the story that you told about your husband being in a band that you won't say the name of the band, but over time, how God worked in his own experience,
and changed the name of the band. Well, or disbanded the band.
Disbanded. Yeah.
That works too, right?
And he serves as a drummer in church now. So I mean it's
awesome.
Just, you know, you just never know how those stirrings of the spirit are leading you to a life with your fiance that are going to be it's incredible that you get to spend those kind of choices in a good way for the future of your legacy, for your kids, for your family. And in a world that tells you everything's okay, we know differently because we talk to those on the other side of that. And if you're stuck on the other side of one of those choices that you feel like you can't get out, just know there's always hope. There's always a chance for a new life. And we can help you get connected to people who can take you on that journey. We'll be right back, continuing with your calls right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're so glad that you are listening today and hope that we can help you in some way. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Jennifer, who's calling us from Fort Myers, Florida, listens on our podcast, and you can too, wherever you get your podcast. We're glad you called, Jennifer. How can we help you today?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding my marriage. My husband and I have been married for close to 7 years. For the past 4 years, though, he's become more and more emotionally distant from me. Really, in some instances, almost abrasive with my requests for, like, more emotional connection and or my basic express concern about certain things based on my emotions. We started counseling, but our counseling has kind of hit a roadblock. So I started my own individual counseling, and my counselor started to inquire more about the origins of our relationship. And I disclosed to her that we actually started our relationship within the first 90 days of him separating from his first wife. I know that's not a good idea. Hindsight is 20/20. He was married for almost as long as we've been married, for 7 years. From what he told me, the relationship was very volatile. She was physically abusive. They had children, so he stayed because of the children. And the marriage ended when she refused to get any help, and she basically left him. With that being said, my counselor suggested that I talk to my husband about, you know, did he really completely heal? She was strongly suspecting he didn't, because we started a relationship soon after. I talked to my husband about it, and he disclosed to me that he has not healed from that first marriage. So my question is, what do I do now? I'm in a marriage with him. I have my own needs as his wife. Specifically, my desire for emotional and spiritual intimacy, which he seems like he just is indifferent to right now. And from what he just recently told me, is he's just still in a lot of pain and bruised. So I'm like, well, what do I do now?
Jennifer, you said the change occurred 4 years ago. Do you know of any major life stressor that happened in addition to all these other things you're talking about? What happened to him 4 years ago?
So at the beginning of the pandemic, he got laid off. So that was like a big stress for him, because, you know, he doesn't like for me to feel that he's not reliable financially. He did get another job, but it is a job that requires him to travel a lot. So he's gone a lot of the time for the past 4 years. Like, we may see each other once a month, twice a month.
Oh. Mm. Wow.
Is he a trucker, Jennifer?
He does work in that industry.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason why I asked, because that is that's a typical rhythm. Mm. But what has happened, though, you guys have just continued to disconnect. And so combined with him not having that healing, now you're stuck with, okay, who are you and how do we get connected? Jill?
Right.
Well, and Jennifer, yeah, that is hard. And you've seen this pattern. So he's on the road a lot. What does he, and have you asked him, what is he willing to do? Does he even see that there's a problem? Can he admit that?
Well, he sees it as me having a problem with him. Because for us to start counseling, it was really me seeking out a counselor, because I noticed we were becoming, the arguments were starting to increase, starting to last longer, starting to become more intense. And the affection basically just fell to the side. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, for the first 3 years, it's like he's a different man than he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know if he's coping with increased alcohol use or maybe even substance use?
He does vape. He doesn't, when I'm around him, he doesn't drink a lot, like maybe just for to watch a football game or something with friends. But he doesn't have to wake up and use alcohol to, you know, start his day or anything like that.
And vaping is THC. It's marijuana, not nicotine, or both of them possibly?
From what I know, nicotine, but I mean, I can't say for sure it's not THC.
Okay. So it is hopeful to me that he did agree to the couples counseling. What happened when you all hit the roadblock? Are you still attending couples?
We are. They're spiritual counselors because we're Christians. So they advise that we really, you know, spend more time in prayer and devotion, like together, to kind of create a basis of spiritual intimacy. But he really is not fond of that idea. He feels that we can do Bible study and prayer on our own time. But so it's kind of like a spiritual disconnect and an emotional disconnect. And I feel like for me to silence my needs is to really ignore what I need as a wife, as a woman. I don't know, how can I lay that already on top of what he's already dealing with?
There's some blame shifting on his part, but he does take some responsibility. So we've got some strategies that we can share with you after the break of what to do next, because you've done quite a few of the right things already in seeking the help that you're getting.
Okay. I agree, Jennifer. You can hear the music. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with some of those steps forward. And, well, you know, it's weird because while prayer, Bible study are really good, we agree with that. There is so much more that has to happen in couples recovery, and to have a great marriage together takes some other kind of work. We'll be right back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Jennifer, who's married, and they are really disconnected and seeking help. She's done a lot of the things that we would say, hey, Jennifer, you should do this, that, and the other thing. You're doing it, Jennifer, which is great. But the problem is there's still this huge disconnect in how to get your husband the healing and the help that he needs when he travels all the time. Alice or Jill, who wants to start?
Well, I was just thinking, Jennifer, you talked about 4 years ago, he was laid off at the beginning of COVID. We know that, I mean, most people, that's a difficult experience. And men especially, a lot of their self-esteem is tied up in their work. And so I think it's important to acknowledge what a hit that was for him. And now, in a job where he travels all the time, it really allows him or adds to him detaching, right? Kind of compartmentalizing so that he can be away. The problem is he doesn't know how to reconnect or to find those moments of reconnection. And he probably has a lot of time to think about things. So when you talk about the fact that he's not over what happened in his first marriage, and he's actually admitting that, which is a good thing, I'm wondering if he's willing to do some work on that piece, because I think he has to touch on that grief and hurt, you know, prior to or in addition to trying to connect with you, because he's not going to know how, and he's probably going to be afraid to do that without looking at that.
Jennifer, there's a technique that's called rolling with the resistance, because you're getting some willingness in some parts of him, and then you're getting blame shifting at another side of him. And so he's speaking some truth when he says it's your problem, but he's also denying his part in the problem. But I would go with that to say, gosh, you're right. I've been thinking about it because my emotions are my problem. And so my hurt, my upset, it's something I need to keep working on and what to do with my emotions. That's not going to be all, Jennifer, but that's an entry point to gain a little traction with him because we all still have our imperfections. So there's more for you to work on with your part of the problem. And that can sometimes lower defensiveness on his part when you're kind of giving him, yeah, you're right about that. It can make him more likely to hear about his part or be willing to look at it later. And that part can be, as Jill pointed out, this life has been really hard for you the last couple of years. You said recently you're thinking about your ex-wife. So you must have a lot going on in your heart as well. How about if we both keep working on what our part of the problem is, me and my emotions, you and whatever it is you're carrying, because there is a burden on you. And Jennifer, I'd give you a caution, and this might be hard to hear. But if he is on the road most of the time, and when he gets to be in your presence, if you are generally upset and trying to get him to look at the problems the little bit of time that he's home, if you're doing that, it's completely legitimate. The attention needs to be on the problems. But it may make interacting with you very intimidating to him. I only get problems when I talk with my wife. I'm exaggerating. But he may start to feel that way. And so if it's mainly problematic, then he might withdraw even more. So this is unfair. But we wives really have to be careful of our ratio. By that I mean we have to give a whole lot of positives and attaboys and genuine gratitude so that our husbands can digest the problems that we need to talk about. That there's a magic ratio that researchers have actually found, 5 to 1. 5 positives for every 1 negative. Most of us are heavily on the opposite end of that ratio. We give tons of negatives. We rarely ever give praise, especially when we're justified. Maybe he's not doing all that much that's praiseworthy. That's what it feels like. So going for how hard of a worker he is, that he is in couples counseling with you, load on the praise so that he's better able to receive the negative from you.
Well, right, so that he feels good in your presence, because that's what keeps him connected to you. Is that he has good feelings when he's with you. If it's all bad feelings, he will go elsewhere.
Yeah. Sad, well, because he's already and he's already feeling the bad. And then if he's disconnected. So, you know, one of the things, my father-in-law was a truck driver for over 30 years, millions of miles. And this was before we had all the connectivity that we have. And one of the things that he would say is that there's a lot of time to think. Well, when you spend a lot of time alone, whether you're in a truck or a car or even at home alone, and no one is there to disrupt those thoughts, you can go down a bad path for a long drive. And so in couples world, like you were just talking about, Alice, is we have to look for the ways that we can connect where we're just checking in. And we talk about this at Intimacy and Marriage. And of course, we would encourage you guys, you know, Jennifer, if you guys can make that trip, we're going to be over in Southern California, but later in the year, we'll come back over to the East Coast. But one of the things that we talk about there is being able to identify your feelings so that instead of just saying, how was your day? You say, give me 3 feeling words for your day. And then it's a place where you can connect, and there's no defenses, or you work on getting the defense down so that there's some connection so that you can get to the root of whatever the issues are that are keeping you disconnected. We're going to send you a copy of that book. Alice, do you have one more thing?
I sure do. Because when there's been a volatile person in the wife role, Jennifer probably has that imprint on her in his perspective. So that history of a volatile wife previously overshadows current time. So one small complaint can feel to him like he's a barrage of complaints because that's what he used to get. So we also have to be cautious about how is their history influencing their current present experience.
And just to clarify, for those of you who are listening and thinking, hey, wait, the guys are getting a ticket, free ticket. No, no, no. In this situation, we're talking about that. But here's the case. In marriage, you may remind your spouse of someone previous, whether it is a wife, a husband, a father, a mother. You got to be aware of how our histories impact how we relate to one another. And that's what you're talking about, Alice, is just you know, getting the image, like, who am I? Or what's the question we ask? How is it to be on the other side of me? And mm-hmm. to understand that there are other people in people's heads that, you know, you've got their face on yours.
Right.
And it's not fair.
And Jennifer, this is the long game, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more important for long term than trying to extract something, some form of connection that he's maybe forced to give, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I hope you take to heart all that was said.
I love that. Well, thanks for calling, Jennifer. We'll be praying for that mm-hmm. situation as well. We're going to continue on to the calls. We're going to talk with Peter, who's calling us from Colorado Springs and listens in KGFT, and I'm sure it is cold in Colorado. Peter, how can we help you today?
It has been very cold, but it's warming up. We have bright sunshine today, so thank mm-hmm. goodness for that.
Colorado's yeah. so neat the way it can switch like that. Mm-hmm. I love that about the weather.
It does it fast.
Yeah.
It was pretty bitter below zero this weekend. But anyway, I thank you so much for taking my call. And I'll try to tick this off pretty quickly and really love your advice on this. I have an adult nephew. He has a six-year-old girl. He shares custody with his former girlfriend. Now, they live in neighboring states, and they're hundreds of miles apart. Mm-hmm. So, and another problem, their relationship is very contentious. They are very difficult together. And the mom has had a pretty tough life for many years. She's been drugged, been promiscuous. No steady home. She's pretty manipulative. And she has three other kids that she sees on and off also with another man. And then my nephew, the dad, he's changed jobs pretty often, even though he's very well educated. He's definitely had problems with alcohol, some mental health issues that I don't know have been well addressed. So those are all, you know, kind of the basics of the situation. And our nephew, his parents, his folks, they and we other family members who live in this area have tried for years to help out, try to maintain provide some kind of stable situation for their daughter when she's here visiting with us. And she continues. The daughter continues to bounce back and forth over these mm-hmm. hundreds of miles with them. So our nephew and the mom are both here in our town for a few days, and we're just wondering, is there any use in us trying to have a frank discussion with them, like maybe over a meal or something like that, to push for a resolution that, above all things, provides some stability for their daughter? Because we're very afraid of what her life's going to become.
Hmm. It's a great question, Peter. I have one question before we go to the break. Has he ever considered moving closer to where the daughter lives currently? Has that ever been an option for him?
And actually the daughter lives most of her time here.
Okay.
But is in the other town, you know, sometimes in Maine. They've considered that, but their relationship is so broken that they just can't be close together, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, we will give you some answers on the way, you know, when we come back. But, you know, Peter, it's great that he has people who love him mm-hmm. and who love her to help with their future plans. And hopefully we can help too.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, if you are looking for a devotional for this time of the year, we've got a gift of any amount. You will receive the Life Recovery 1-Year Devotional from New Life. And, you know, we appreciate your gifts because it helps us do all that we are doing. And so this is just our way of saying thank you. And there's some great readings and scripture and quotes for each and every day of this new year. Maybe a great next step. You give a gift, we give you a gift, and it's all good. We're going to go back to the calls. And we're talking with Peter, who has a nephew who is sharing custody with the mother of the child. And it has been a challenge. And you're wanting to have a conversation with them because I think they're both in town. So, Jill, let's start with you.
Well, I'm wondering, Peter, I mean, your idea of a frank conversation. I think a conversation could be helpful, could be warranted. I'm thinking maybe more of an empathic conversation. And I'm wondering if you're wanting it with both of them, with her, what you're envisioning, right? And obviously, we don't know the whole history of how you all have tried to intervene here. But I think some understanding, what you don't want is for them both to shut you down right away, right? That being said, you also don't want to be afraid to have a difficult conversation if that feels what's warranted. But it usually has to come with a lot of understanding and a lot of willingness, which you may have already proven, to come alongside. How can we best support you all and support your daughter? You know, the two of you are struggling. You have your individual struggles, and yet there's a child here who needs needs, you know, adequate support in parenting. So I don't know what you're thinking in terms of that, but it's important to really lean in with some empathy for them first and foremost.
Yeah.
Peter,
well, you know, certainly, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to just say the shutdown is something we certainly are concerned about because it's largely been that way in the past. We've talked to, well, especially the nephew, because the nephew lives here in our town. He has a pretty stable relationship with his parents, who are also here, and we've got extended family in this area. It's much more, I guess, a supportive environment here than she has where she lives, where it's much more of a broken family situation. But the nephew is defensive, and oddly enough, even though they've had this very difficult relationship, he still feels some strong tie to her. And, you know, we struggle with that. But because, you know, because the courts have said, yes, you have to share this custody, we feel like maybe it's finally best to try to have that difficult talk, but with both of them. I, you know, I don't know if you'd call this kind of like an intervention or something, but, something where we sit down with both of them and say, first of all, above all else, we are really concerned about your daughter's life, and we, you know, want to find a way that you can have provide her with as much stability as possible.
So in that, Peter, be ready knowing what level of help you're willing to keep doing or to add in. Would you pay for therapy? Would you send them to one of our weekends? Are you at Are you suggesting counseling for the daughter? Any of those things, be prepared with your family. What are we willing to offer to them first? And I'd, I'd caution you on a couple of things. First, I think you're right to want to say something. You make me think of Proverbs. This is from 24:11-12. This comes from the Message. Rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off of the hook? And no, God does ask us, speak truth to other people, particularly other believers. Speak tough truth, even if it does risk relationship. But be cautious that you're not going repeated nagging truth, because that destroys relationship and does not tend to be helpful. Are you also willing to add in your own confession so that it's not coming from a position of superiority? We're right. We know what's the right thing to do and you don't. But rather, hey, we've had our struggles too. I used alcohol too much in my life previously. I'm not perfect, but I do love you, and this is how I'm willing to help. Make sure that message of love and care for the relationship is in there with the difficult truth.
And one last thought, Peter, that I was thinking is that when you go into this, that you are willing, like what both of them have just said, we want to support you, and that you are speaking the truth in love, because while you don't understand the connection that they have with each other, there obviously is a connection. And, you know, if they can get stable in their own lives, it's going to be better for this child, regardless of where they live or what their, you know, plans are. It's just such a tricky thing when we try to help others. They may not receive it as help. And so that's the main thing that you got to keep in mind. Go ahead, Jill.
Oh, to have an Uncle Pete.
I know.
A man willing to help and bring truth.
Yes, and confront, right? Confronting in love. That's a wonderful thing. But I think be thinking about different forms of help and not just one agenda, right? You really want to be open if your goal is to help this daughter. So I like what Alice was saying, but I would, you know, really think that through. Like, are any of you family members willing to take on the daughter if that were the case, right?
Yeah.
Or in addition, you know, paying for therapy for the mom, helping her to be stable. And take into consideration that she has three other children, so she probably needs to be in proximity to them as well. So it has to be doable and realistic.
If this doesn't work, there are two other levels that your family can go to. One, you mentioned intervention. It is an intervention, and it can help to have an interventionist who's a professional who knows how to bring all these different ingredients together. And in one of the toughest conversations you can have with a person, we can connect you with an interventionist. If you believe the daughter, your great niece, is in danger and they won't listen and they won't get help, then Child Protective Services may need to be involved to give them the help that they're struggling to receive on their own.
So what book do you think would be good for Peter and the family?
Boy, you stumped us.
I know.
There.
Well, it depends on who you're giving it to, but how we love our kids.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Jill, because Here's the thing, Peter, one of the challenges that you have is to not give solutions where they're not asked for. One of the things that we learn as therapists early on is we are not going to be able to tell people what to do. Now, that's going to be the most frustrating part of our job, but the minute that you recognize your limit of control for another person, whether you're a counselor or not, you will have more freedom and you'll have more ability to connect with them at the place of need. So you want to be real open as you have these conversations of, you know.
Yeah, listen a lot.
Yes, listen more than you ever thought you needed to. Because you might be real sure that, that you have the answer and they're not looking for the answer. And I just think those opportunities to be curious about how I can help and what I'm willing to do, to the point that Alice and Jill both made about, you know, maybe it's something that somebody says, hey, if you ever need this or that, I'm willing to do it. Or here's my phone number. No judgment. We just want to get you, as stable as we can. We know that this is challenging. We hope something that we said today was helpful to you or to even a situation that you may be facing. If you need help, you can call us at any time, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Alice, and thank you, Joe, for your wisdom. Always appreciate doing the radio with you. And if you're listening some other time, call us. We're here for you. We want to help you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.